esta semana en Todos Mis Hijos.
¿Qué es tu problema conmigo?
Yo no tengo problema contigo, pero tú no eres Erika.
Sí, yo soy Erika.
No.
Sí.
No.
Sí.
No.
Sí.
No.
Es la verdad. Yo soy Jane.
Y en una vida para vivir.
Rex, ¿qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó?
¡Mami! ¡Mami! ¡Tiene la vuelta!
Pero, nene, ¿qué pasa con tu cara?
Y en Hospital General. ¡Ven! ¡Esta semana en el Bye Bye Podcast!
Welcome to the Pod Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your host, Jordan Hudson.
This is the Pod Es El Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending. Actually, we'll just call
for
it
the
June.
The decade ending.
We'll call it June 20, 2011. That's when we're taping.
For the decade beginning.
Ay, yo. Cállate la boca, por favor.
Oh my God, that was fun. This intro was in honor of Dominicana. For those of you who aren't on our blog, Dominicana's one. Well, I'm sure by now she was one of our listeners, and she posted on her blog. She called me an a-hole, which I'm fine with. I told Ashley came to my defense and shadowed some other people, but I told Miss Dominicana, I shouldn't be dishing it out if I can't take it in. And you know what? Sometimes I am a big a-hole. I'll admit that.
I'll admit it too.
I'll admit.
Me, on the other hand, I'm never an a-hole.
You're
perfect angel.
You're preciosa. But like I told her, the one thing that I won't apologize for is for what I said, because I don't feel like I said anything wrong. First, I just
want to... You better not get us into trouble again, Jordan Hudson.
No. First, I want to clear something up, because she said on the blog that I said that Puerto Ricans were better than Dominicans, and I never, ever said that. Ashley knows I would never...
You just acted like it.
Yes, I may have acted like it, but I never said it. I may have thought it. I may have felt it, but I never said it on the podcast.
What else?
So I just want to clarify that up. I mean...
I personally love Dominicans.
Our podcast is like we've gone from talking about this All My Children to talking about soaps to talking about TV to talking about your kids and everything, and we discuss what's going on in our lives, and this is an issue that's happening right now in my borough, you know. And I never said that all Dominicans are this way. I'm just saying that Dominicans right now that are living in my area of the Bronx are like this. But I even clarified that when I went to visit my friend Vanessa.
1.2 million Dominicans living on his block.
I even said the Dominicans, like in Washington Heights, where my friend Vanessa lives, are great, beautiful people. I love them. I love going over there. I love visiting her. She's half Puerto Rican, half Dominican now. My friend Rosie, did you ever meet Rosie? My friend Rosie, who grew up with me in my building and lived in the first floor.
Yes.
For all these years. She doesn't live there now. She's in Connecticut. Rosie is 100% Dominican. Both parents are Dominican.
And wait a minute, you like her.
I love her. I grew up with her. She's one of my best friends. She has done
so
much.
She's one Dominican you can name.
No, I know a lot of Dominicans that I like. But Rosie is fabulous, right? And Rosie, but I said Morena, everybody thinks she's black because she's dark, dark skin, gorgeous, shoulder length, like she's beautiful.
So and she's Dominican, but she doesn't appear as if Dominican.
No.
So you like her.
No, it's not that, girl. I'm going to tell you. See, look, girl, he's cruising for sex, look. And He's a
we
gay
should tell we should
DL
I should
thug.
Interrupt your story for 1 second. Yes. We are in Van Cortlandt Park.
We are I took her to Van Cortlandt because we have to find places to tape now. We
he
are
is
that,
walking rather
we
slow,
are,
that gentleman.
Honey, because he's looking for
we parked in this place and I see a trail and I said, are people really walking by? He said, yeah, the people are looking for sex.
Yes, this is the gay area where the gays cruise.
And that
for
guy
sex.
Is walking slow and he don't look gay. He looks very
no,
masculine.
No, honey, he's DL Thug. He's on the down low. Oh. He's one of those like ethnic guys that doesn't, you know, that he don't mind because in his mind he's not
he's
gay.
Straight.
He lets somebody like,
I
you know,
see.
If somebody gives him a blowjob, it's okay.
A little tug, yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
but
go ahead.
You know, as long as he's not,
back
you know.
Back to the Dominicans.
So right, so Rosie, but even Rosie told my sister. Rosie was like, she told my sister, if you ever come home and tell us that you're dating a Dominican, I'm going to slap you inside your head.
So even Rosie
so
hates...
Even
girl, Dominicana hates Dominicans.
You know, even, look, Dominicana, even some of your own people don't even like your people. So that's not me. But look, I don't like some of my people. I tell you right now.
I don't think they're helping our situation very much.
Listen, hey, see another on. One. He's looking. He's
yeah,
looking for,
he is looking for. He's looking, he definitely looks a little. Mm-mm.
He looks a little fey to you.
He's a little fey.
I cannot believe we're in the cruising area of Van Cortlandt Park. That's
yes.
So funny. Anyway, look. Even me. I don't go to. I don't. Damn, they're all full force.
I'm telling you. You want 6 minutes of Dominican talk?
I don't look.
You get caught up at seven.
Listen, I don't even like going to Spanish Harlem because the few Puerto Ricans that are there are the really bad ones. I don't even visit my father's relatives up there. I used to look forward to the Puerto Rican Day weekend with pride. Now I can't wait for that thing to be over.
We were gonna meet on the Puerto Rican Day parade, and
no.
I forgot it was Puerto Rican Day parade because I'm in.
Let me tell you something. First
of
all,
area now.
On Saturday is when they have the festival in Spanish Harlem. That I don't even go to anymore. Because it's not even Puerto Rican. It's like everybody that lives there is like South American, Mexican, and everybody that goes to that festival is anybody but Puerto Rican. And I have pride in Puerto Rico and I love Puerto Rico, and I used to grow up going to that festival and the parade with such pride. And then as the years went by, it just got crazy. Like, I used to go there because I used to like listening to salsa music. That's my people's music, not this garbage reggaeton. Look, I know some of you young kids love that reggaeton.
Reggaeton.
For those of you who don't know what reggaeton is basically rap music and reggae in Spanish.
And it's endless.
And it originated, it's very
hours.
Redundant. It's even more redundant than merengue. It's like, it's
a
just...
A lot of people drop acid and then listen to it for hours.
I don't even think you could drop acid and listen to that. It's such garbage. For those of you who like it, I'm sorry. The only group that I like is Calle 13, and that's because the lead singer's hot.
So now we've offended Dominicans
and Puerto Rican
listeners.
And Puerto Ricans that live in Spanish Harlem. Look, what I'm saying is, when I used to go to the festival, I used to like to go because it was a celebration of my culture. Reggaeton is an urban, younger thing from Puerto Rico. It is not our history. It is not our music, as far as I'm concerned. I used to like listening to the old salsa, listening to Willie Colon, listening to Hector Lavoe, and watching the old-timers
love
dance salsa. Watching the old-timers at the festival dance salsa. Nothing brings me more pride than when I see my parents dancing salsa. Do your parents dance?
Of course they do.
It is
seriously.
It is beautiful when they dance. When because salsa is an art. Like I can't dance salsa. I don't know if you can.
I don't know if it's an art when my parents dance.
Well, when my parents dance, it's beautiful.
But they
to watch.
Know how to dance. Let's put it that
way. I mean, I love watching people dance salsa. Now I can dance merengue because merengue is very simple. It's just you just move your hips back and forth.
Uh huh.
It's very redundant. You just move your hips back and forth and shake the booty a little bit. I can do that because I got a lot of booty to shake, girl.
He does not. He's so full of it.
They call me that, girl. I told you what my nickname was.
What was your nickname?
I don't even want to say it because I was. Well, it was one time when I was at the Monster and I was hanging out.
No.
And I was dancing my ass off and was having fun at the Monster. And this black guy comes up behind me. He's just like, yo, papa, you're like the male J-Lo. And I turned around. I was like, that ain't going to get you anywhere near me. Like, I can't. You know how I feel about J-Ho. I can't stand me some J-Ho.
I also know how you feel about, forget it.
So I was just
We're in enough trouble.
I ain't like, I was just like, you know, but the festival is not the same. It's very thuggish now.
We're at 9 minutes of Dominican talk.
And because I want Dominicana to understand, not that she's even listening anymore.
Who cares?
But,
who cares?
And then the parade is...
The
parade
Emmys? Is seriously.
Okay.
I want to talk about my favorite actress. No, not Laura Wright. Brittany Allen. Congratulations. I love her.
All my children got a one.
Brittany Allen is the best actress on General Hospital. I love her.
Actually, no, that's Lexley Ainsworth. She didn't win.
You mean that brilliant young actress that did that whole beating, the abuse, girlfriend abuse storyline in General Hospital? That wasn't Brittany Allen?
I got confused.
Was Brittany Allen then?
Brittany Allen was that girl you used to call olive oil from All My Children.
Ow! How dare you? How dare you?
I look her up on IMDb. I'm not lying.
Horsey?
Girl, and not only that, but she dropped Finn Wittrick. Wasn't she dating your man?
No, she did that, bitch.
And she's with somebody else. And now he's actually hot.
Now her head's going to get all swollen because she's going to think she can actually act.
He's actually hot.
Well, he's incredible.
I'm talking about her new boyfriend.
Oh.
I can't believe she actually got another hot guy.
Oh, wow.
Super Poster was happy. I didn't know Super Poster was Canadian.
He's a Canuck.
He was happy. He posted down. He was like happy because she represented Canada and she won.
Fine. Look, I love you, Super Poster, but I can't stand this from Brittany Allen.
I'm gonna tell
you
guys.
How the hell is she Brittany?
I don't get that.
Is that her name?
Yeah, Lexi Ainsworth. I gotta tell you, just like Ashley, I was sitting there, and when they said the island, where is Brittany Allen? Because I don't remember Oliver's real name that well, and I don't really remember Lexi's real name that well either. Because I see her as Christina.
It's Christina, yeah.
So like, I'm thinking, Christina won, because I thought it was a shoo-in. And when they turned the camera to Brittany Allen's face, I was like, eh!
Can I tell you my thought process? Because I forgot that the Daytime Emmys were on last night. So I didn't tune in. I completely forgot. But hear me out. So I go to my email this morning, and I see, like, a thing from this. I don't remember what it was. I think I got some kind of notice about the Daytime Emmys. I forgot. One of the newsletters I subscribed to or something. And it says Daytime Emmy Award listed, you know, winners listed. So I go to the thing and I see all the things and I see, you know, I see Laura Wright. I was so excited. I see for Best Actress, I see Jonathan Jackson. I see Heather Tom for Bold and Beautiful for Best Supporting. And then I see for Best Younger Actor, I see Brittany Allen. And I literally went, oh, please don't tell me. Because I sort of remember that maybe that was her. But then I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Like, I prayed in my head that it was maybe even new Colby. I thought first was that. I said, maybe it's new Colby. And I went to Google Images, and I saw that horse face pop up. And can I tell you the funniest thing? I typed in Brittany Allen, and you know how Google does that autofill? It actually said Brittany Allen horse.
You're lying.
Oh my God.
You are lying.
People try it. It says Brittany Allen horse. I swear to God.
You're lying.
It's a frequent Google search. And then I was so happy because at least I got a laugh out of the whole thing.
You sound like my cousin Desiree. I swear to God, you're so funny. I never mean to tell you that. You sound just like my cousin Desiree when you talk.
I like to think I'm an original. Anyway, what's going on?
No, I thought I saw somebody cute.
Oh, don't.
Girl, we're in a cruising area. I might as well take a look.
You would never cruise here, right? Never. Oh no, you have.
I have needs.
You could get the AIDS virus.
Oh my God, you can get that anywhere from anybody. You gotta always. I don't do like.
How about the Hep C? You can get the Hep C.
Oh, Lord, girl.
It's true.
Anyway,
or you can get the chlamydia. You have to be careful about the chlamydia. You are crazy.
You are so insane.
Fine. All right. So go ahead. So what? Want to talk Daytime Emmys?
I'll be back.
No. We're in trouble now.
I gotta leave you fast for a few minutes. I gotta go take care of some business. No, I'm just kidding. All right, look. All right, so let's talk about that. Now, I can speak because I did watch and endure All My Children all last year. And even on Olive Oil's best day, and there were a couple of days that I told Ashley, oh, look. She actually was, Ashley fought me on it, but I said she was decent.
There was a couple days where I said, bless her heart, she's trying to act.
But even on those days, she did not beat Lexi Ainsworth. I'm sorry. That just showed right there that this is bullshit, this is politics, this is garbage. Now, Jonathan Jackson was a shoo-in. That was a given.
But how does the, no, time out. How does the politics work for a fired actress on a canceled show winning a daytime Emmy. How does that work?
It
doesn't make any sense.
Because they didn't want to give it to General Hospital because General Hospital already took two awards.
I don't buy that.
I do. I think they think like that. They're like, well, because at this point, because otherwise General Hospital would have swept. Like, now, look, best younger actress went to Scott Clifton, who used to be our Skyler on One Night to Live.
Thank God he's getting his just reward.
I don't watch him on Bold and the Beautiful, but I know that he's a talented actor. I can believe that he might have put in some material that, because remember, the Chad Dwell's really big performance was this year when Michael admitted that he was raped. Not saying that his work last year wasn't good.
Was he nominated?
Yeah, he was nominated.
Oh, good.
But I think that the stuff that could get him the Emmy is definitely the stuff. You got to remember the cutoff point now is the end of the year. So Chad Dwell did do a lot of good stuff last year, but it's this year that hard-hitting stuff came in that we were all like, all right, yeah, he's really good as Michael. So that's that. Best Supporting Actress. Look, I know that Heather Tom's a good actress, but I thought that was bullshit. I really did. I really wanted Bree Williamson to take it home, or even Nancy Lee Grand, or there was somebody else that was nominated that I would have been happier with. It's like, Heather Tom's already won for, like, Young and the Restless. It's like, and didn't she win already for Bold and the Beautiful?
Did she ever win for One Life to Live?
No. She wasn't even nominated. They look, let me just say, the hatred that the Academy has for One Life to Live is disgusting. One Life to Live is the best soap on the damn air right now. And it wasn't nominated for anything. Bree Williamson and what's his name, Charlie, who got fired. That they were the only nominees, and they didn't win. So I was upset about, you know, Best Supporting Actress. Best Actress, of course, was Laura Wright. Loved her speech. Loved everything about it.
You sent me a clip of her speech. It was fantastic.
I was flipping out if she wouldn't have won. Because I was so scared that they were going to give it to those old-timers.
First win.
Susan Flannery, like, has like a million awards. She doesn't need another one. And Phyllis,
can I ask you a question about what? That specifically?
Uh-huh.
How did you feel about the fact that they took the time to honor Susan Lucci right before Laura Wright's? Because I don't feel great about that.
I like the fact that they...
That could have been separate from Laura Wright's award.
Well, all right, but this goes on to the fact that the whole show...
Just real briefly, if you didn't see the show, before Laura Wright was awarded the Daytime Emmy, Susan Lucci was the co-presenter, and so her other presenter said, you know, mentioned her Emmy win after being nominated 82 times or whatever, and then they showed the footage from when she won, and I felt it was very detracting.
That's from the clip.
Oh, is that...
You didn't see what came before.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So, see, you need to be quiet. Because
all right. Shut up, geez.
Let me tell you, there was a whole bunch of garbage that came before that. You thought that was insulting? What came before that was insulting to Susan Lucci. And Susan Lucci...
Oh, no.
I'm going to tell you, Susan Lucci
is a
class...
Not that I love you, Susan, but I thought Laura deserved her own moment.
Susan Lucci is a class act. The fact that she smiled... When they were doing some of the most embarrassing things to her, I was disgusted with what I saw.
What happened?
Well, first of all, she came out with her daughter. No offense, but Susan, I love you, but your daughter looks like your mother. Susan Lucci looks hotter than her daughter. Her daughter's younger than her.
Liza.
Liza Hubert. And then...
Hubert. Liza Hubert.
She gave... Like, they were supposed to come out to present the award, and what happened was...
Together?
I don't know if Susan was in on it, but yeah, together. But then she like stopped before they started. She's like, Mom, I just want to tell you how great it's been. And I don't know if that was something that was written for her to say, but it sounded so rehearsed. Like, it didn't sound natural coming from her. It sounded so cheesy. And then they brought Shamar Moore out, and then Shamar Moore did this.
Clearly she doesn't get her acting talent from her mother.
Obviously. But I knew that when watching her on Passions.
Who's been doing a very good job is this Jane bullshit.
As I watched Passions, I knew that she wasn't her mother's daughter.
Woo!
Then Shamar Moore comes out to like do these horrible skits saying that he works on like that stupid show on CBS, that cop show, that he's a cop and he went undercover and he found out that Erica was married 11 times, not 8. And then they put bobbleheads on like some of the scenes of her husband, and they go, you were married to Regis Philbin, and they put Regis Philbin's head on like I guess Dimitri's like body, and then it was like a bobblehead, like you saw Regis Philbin's head going like this as he's like doing I do's with Erica. Then they did Dr. Phil, and then they did Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah. And it was just so stupid and infantile and corny and disgusting. And Susan is such a class act because she just stood there, grinned and bared it, like the classy lady that she is, instead of telling them, you can kiss my bony white ass, which is what she should have done, because that was disgusting. I'm sorry. This is the queen of daytime. And yes, the one thing
that... Oh, so they led from one insult to the next.
The one thing that was done right was that these bitches needed to stand up. That's Susan Lucci, bitches. Y'all needed to get up and give her her due. Mm. She is the queen of daytime TV.
Question for you.
How they're all like, the people from Young and the Restless were looking like they didn't know what to do. I was like, get your asses up. That's Susan Lucci.
Daytime royalty.
She is the queen of daytime. That queen, hands down. Susan, I don't want to hear nothing about anybody else. I don't want to hear about Erica Slezak. I don't want to hear about anybody from Young and the Restless.
I don't want to hear about no Susan Flannery.
Susan Lucci is the queen of daytime.
Thank you.
That is said, done,
so
done.
What?
There's no debate.
Listen, I got a question for you, Jordan
what?
Hudson.
What? I'm a little
How did they handle the daytime cancellations?
Well, first of all, this goes back to what I was telling you. The show itself sucked. CW did the show last
year. Numbers were down, people. Ratings were down.
CW did the show last year, and it was a lot classier act than this garbage that Channel 2 put up. First of all, Channel 2 didn't even want to acknowledge the soaps. They were trying to say the daytime is just about talk shows and everything. They sped through the first two categories, which was Best Supporting Actor and Actress. They literally were like, here's your award. And that was it. It was done like in 5 seconds. Except for that, we had to endure this horrible skit with Penn and Teller and that horrible biatch Rachel Ray that was just so stupid and, again, dumb. And like, what are we? I thought it was bad enough when you watch a Spanish talk show and they have puppets on it. Like, that's not embarrassing enough.
El Chavo.
Yeah, like it's like, this is your Good Morning version of Good Morning America in Spanish, and there's puppets hosting the show. I thought that makes us look stupid. But this daytime, they make it seem like people that watch daytime are like imbeciles. Like we're like.
Listen, what they think. That's what this fronthole thinks. That's what everybody
it.
Thinks. We
I
have no value to these a-holes.
Wayne Brady was doing step and fetch it, basically. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it like I see it.
We lost another viewer. Listener.
He was basically step and fetch it. He was hop, skipping, and jumping along, parade. And first of all, it was an insult that they even got him to host a show. His stupid Let's Make a Deal is what replaced Guiding Light or As the World Turns. So, like, I don't even want to see no Wayne Brady.
That show's on still?
Yes.
Jesus.
So, Wayne Brady was the host. That was another slap in the face. And then he comes and he goes, this is his opening monologue. Oh, it's been a fabulous year for daytime. It's been such a great year for daytime. He's like, we're going to see Oprah retire, and we're going to see Meredith Vieira retire and Regis retire, and the forced retirement of Susan Lucci and Erica Kane and All My Children in One Night to Live. And I'm like, that's a great year that the soaps are getting. And he goes, but give a round of applause because this tonight is a celebration for you guys and the new people. And the new people coming into daytime. So you want us to applaud the fact that All My Children, One Night to Live are going, and we're getting some
fat
some
Mario Batali,
chef, and
he's a fat.
Anyway,
he's
so
disgusting.
That's all I gotta say
he
about Wayne. And then
this guy is walking.
I had to
again,
enjoy,
Mr.
honey.
Yankee.
I told you they're looking for some DRC.
He thinks we're gonna give it to him too. He keeps looking in here like something.
Cause he thinks I'm cute. Anyway.
You didn't tell him about that big Papi Chulo that checked me out.
Oh, on our drive here, Ashley, we were driving down the hill, and there was a car next to us. He was playing some really hideous music, and when we looked over, he was all vato looking.
He had to be about 300 pounds.
He was all vato looking with a ponytail and the beard. He looked all ghetto, and he's checking Ashley out like she's like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
He was all licking his lips, and I was like, girl, the vato's checking you out. The vato's checking you out, girl. Ashley gets her groove back in the hood.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Emmys were horrible. Then we had to look at Cirque du Soleil do Elvis Presley. What that was about, I don't know. I love me some Marie Osmond. I don't know what the point of her being there, because now they say she's on Bold the Beautiful. So she performed Bugle Boy. I got to tell you, Marie Osmond.
I like that song.
Looked hot.
She's amazing.
She looks hot.
She lost all that weight. She looks
She looked
now.
Gorgeous. She had her body looked phenomenal.
Her son killed himself. She's had a rough couple
she
years.
Had, but let me tell you something. She performed her ass off. The
she's
dancing
amazing.
Was hot.
She's an amazing
the
performer.
Only thing that I was a little bit upset upset was I thought she kind of did a Britney and lip sync. I'm not sure. It looked kind of very lip syncy, but
you try to dance and sing at the same time.
But it was fabulous. I live for Marie Arnaud. I was like, I don't know what it has to do with daytime, but I was okay with Marie performing. But the Cirque du Soleil people doing Elvis did not get that at all. Penn and Teller did not get that at all. Gladys Knight, look, you all know I love me some Gladys Knight, but it hurts when they can't sing the way they used to.
It does, right?
And it was hurting me to hear her. She did not sound good at all. I love you, Gladys, but what happened?
I know it's been a couple of years. I felt that about Aretha Franklin when she was singing for Oprah.
Oh, my God. Well, that was Gladys singing for Oprah.
No. I'm sorry. Oprah's farewell thing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch that. You know I hate Oprah.
I watched all of it.
I don't like Oprah. I've never liked Oprah. I can't stand her. That tribute to her was stupid. She wasn't even there. All these people are singing Celine Dion, Gladys Knight, all these people. It was like freaking almost 30 minutes of the show was this tribute
that
to Oprah Winfrey,
weird.
And she
that
wasn't even there.
I agree.
And she wasn't even there.
You're like, people, her show ain't on it anymore. She can't really put any money in your pockets anymore. So
I know.
So.
It was just like, whatever.
Stop kissing her black ass.
I was so
I
not
bet you
feeling.
If Oprah was there, she would literally say, people, stop kissing my black ass.
I was like.
It's just enough.
I was so done with that Oprah tribute. I'm like, whatever. No tribute to One Night to Live. No tribute to Oprah. They're claiming they're going to do that next year when the show's off the air. Like, whatever. F you, F you, F you. This was the time to do it. The camera went on Star when Wayne Brady mentioned One Night to Live being retired. And she went like this. She gave this little face like, I was like,
she's a
my
sweetheart.
Star, my
she
little
is
Kristen
a
Alderson.
Sweetheart.
She looked hot, too. I was like, I'm going to have to put her on my list. She looked cute.
I
couldn't do that before.
I think of parents who did it right. Like, she spent her whole childhood, and she somehow managed to be a nice girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a respectful girl.
Just because you're a kid in the business doesn't mean that you're going to wind up like the Kids from Different Strokes. Honestly, it doesn't mean that. It all comes down, I hate to blame it, but it all comes down on the parents, girl.
Yeah.
It really does. If you got parents that are well-adjusted and not like Billy Ray Cyrus, you're going to be fine. So Michael Park won for As the World Turns again. This show's been off the air, and
what
he won again. That's
that?
Disgusting.
What is this?
He won last year.
But what is this? Who is this? What is this character? What are you talking
like him.
About?
That's the guy that you said you liked.
I don't even remember.
He plays, what was his name? He was the one that was involved, the husband of Maura West.
I only like Tom Pelfrey. That's what I like.
Well, anyway. So that was
is my man Tom Pelfrey?
I don't know. Last I think I heard, he was doing a play or something.
Aye.
Oh, and your boy is in a play.
Who?
Finn Wittrick, who played...
I love him so much. I want to make love to him.
What was his name on All My Children?
I would meet him in this park. Scout him for
what
sex.
What was his name on All My Children? Damon. He's in a play with Nigel from One Night to Live called The Illusionist. Got good reviews. New York City?
I'm going to see it.
Maybe that's why him and Oliver broke up.
Maybe that bitch. That no talent, horse faced bitch.
You know whose husband looked hot?
Who?
And I couldn't believe it because I saw only one photo of him and I thought he was too ugly for her, but he looked good in the Emmys.
Who?
Alicia Minshew's husband.
Ah. Okay.
And Laura Wright's husband looked kind of cute too because I saw
a
photo.
She looked a little annoyed, Alicia Minshew, at the Emmys.
She probably needed to eat something.
Probably, right? She's probably...
Girl, you know who needs to eat something?
She probably had to put her hands on her stomach to conceal the rumbling.
Do you know who really needs to eat something? And I'm very worried about her.
Brittany Allen.
No, Leanne Rimes.
Oh, she's in trouble.
Let me tell you something. Oh, for those of you who don't watch it, Drop Dead Diva had their season premiere last night. I was in Seventh Heaven. This show puts a smile in my heart. I love me some Drop Dead Diva. It was an all-star. Everybody and their mother guest star. This show, I don't know how they have the budget for it. They get major people to guest star. You know who was on yesterday?
Who?
Helen Slater. Leanne Rimes.
Can I just... I just want to say something.
What?
They get major people to guest star. Just think about that statement.
Girl, it's Helen Slater. I know she's not...
Demi Moore might be major. Helen
Paula
Slater.
Abdul.
Come on.
What I'm saying is that they're getting names and not just any old actor.
Yeah, like Kim Delaney.
She's talking about, because we had this discussion. She's asking me why Jonathan Jackson isn't a big star.
He's so talented.
I know, but look, let me put this to you.
And he says the same reason why Kim Delaney's a big star and Marcy Walker isn't.
And she said Kim Delaney's not a star.
I did a spit take. I spit out my lunch.
And I told her, Kim Delaney left all my children. Look, we all love our Jenny Gardner, but we got to admit, she was no Jessie and Angie. She's not. She was not the greatest actress on All My Children. All right, we loved her because she was Jenny. Everybody thought that it was Marcy Walker who was going to like break out and make it in other venues. But Kim is the one who went on to do NYPD Blue, won a Nighttime Emmy for her work, went on to have her own show, Philly, then went on to have her
now
show,
she
Army
had that
Wives.
Show, Sister Wives.
And I... Army Wives.
Oh, sorry.
And I told her, well, where's Marcy Walker eating Sara Lee and, like, preaching to people down south and defending people on Facebook? That's what Marcy Walker is.
Oh.
I can't take credit. That was Shadow's joke in the vlog.
He got some zingers on her.
Yeah. Well, I'm mad at what she said to everybody. I don't know if you heard. She, like, praised Brian Franz.
She's insane.
And his cancellation of the soaps. I thought it was going to be a religious thing. Because you know how religious people get? When they become religious, all of a sudden everything's
okay,
a sin.
We just lost another 72 viewers.
Listen. Religious people can get very, like, judgmental. Everything's a
I'm
sin.
I'm about to turn off the mic.
So I thought that when she was going to be clamoring on my children, when I tell them, because they should be off the air because the shows are sinful. But no, she just praised Brian Franz. She said that he's a good man and he had made a hard choice. Marcy, put down that crack pipe that you're smoking. Brian Franz is evil. He's evil incarnate. He, by making this decision, he has, like, put almost 1,000 people on unemployment. There's nothing good about that, girl. Nothing good about that.
Can we talk about All My Children?
I gotta tell you, I'm gonna have to start watching All My Children.
You
because
should have started.
I saw,
it's getting good already.
I was gonna wait to Agnes's name and Lorraine's name were there, but
they're
know what?
They're already there.
They
they're
have to already be
there.
Because I've been
seeing some
bits
major changes.
And I'm seeing some major changes. And when I read...
You know who else I thought maybe Brittany Allen was?
Who?
Biggs. I thought maybe she was new Biggs. I was like, please let it be new Biggs. Please let it be new
Girl,
Cosby.
Give it up. Olive oil won. Alright, now look.
One thing about her.
What?
She looks really good with brown hair.
Who?
She has dark brown hair now. Looks good. She don't look as horsey.
Alright, anyway, like I was saying, there's some major moments, but when I read...
She got an Emmy for smiling that horse tooth face.
I had a migraine.
Through every... I do, actually. For smiling that horse tooth grin through every scene.
All right,
like,
look.
JR.
For those of you who live under a rock, soap opera... We Love Soaps and Daytime Confidential broke that Annie is coming back to the show, Jennifer Bassey, Marion Colby, and Kate Collins as Janet from Another Planet. They are in... Oakhaven with Dixie, and they're gonna break out and come back to Pine
Hallelujah.
Valley.
Hallelujah.
And when I read that, I said,
and they're gonna bring Josh Duhamel from the river.
And when I read that, I said, you know what?
They're gonna be on the river with a canoe, and they're gonna see Josh Duhamel, Leo, swimming.
And when I read that, I cried.
And they're gonna pull him up onto the canoe.
So stupid.
And his chest is gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be brown and dripping wet. His hair, they're gonna just sweep the water from his face and his hair, and they're gonna kiss him back to life. And he's gonna be like, whoa, where's Greenlee? Where's Greenlee?
She's crazy. Anyway, I cried because I was like, you know what? That's Agnes Nixon.
I cried when I heard Josh Duhamel was returning.
That's Agnes Nixon. I knew that was an Agnes Nixon storyline. It just reeks of old school on my children.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant and beautiful, and I cannot wait. And I'm glad. And you know what? I wouldn't mind if they pick up Stewart along the way and Jenny Gardner. For those of you who are complaining.
What about Bobby from the attic?
Well, I think that's the way the show should end. I already told you. But for those of you, see, they don't know they're running into a gay area. They're clueless.
It's a mom and a child.
They're totally clueless.
They're fine. Don't do that. They're nice.
I want to warn them.
No.
You don't want the little girl seeing something that she shouldn't be seeing.
It's daytime. She's with her mother. That's not going to happen.
Well, they're walking at a dead end anyway. They need to get off that path.
Well,
but anyway.
Back to my children. The writing is getting better already.
Wait. Look, let me explain something. For those of you who are complaining that Dixie's coming back, I don't know what you're complaining about. Look, the show's coming to an end.
Who is complaining?
There are people that are upset about this.
On our blog?
No, not on our blog.
So then who cares? Why are we talking about it?
No, because I need people to understand something. The show's coming to an end. I'm not saying that we shouldn't fight to the bitter end. I'm just saying the reality is that ABC, as far as ABC is concerned, this show's gone. So they're trying to give us an ending, and I'm sorry, it's a soap opera. I want it to end on a damn happy note, okay? I want to see Tad and Dixie reunited. And Ashley will tell you, I am not a big Tad and Dixie fan the way she is.
But he's about family.
I don't believe that like they're the be all to end all. They're not Jesse and Angie to me, or even Greg and Jenny. But when they first got together, I did like them. I did like Tad and Dixie. Now, I was a big proponent of Tad being with Liza when I thought that Dixie was dead. But you know what? Liza's not being played by Marcy Walker. And Marcy Walker's definitely not coming back. And Katie McClain wants to come back, and I want Tad to be happy. I want to know that Tad and Dixie finally got together, and that Dixie's going to get to raise her daughter with Tad. Sue me for wanting a happy ending.
I still wish it was that other Kathy. Oh, my God. That girl was exactly like Dixie.
I'm sorry. I want a happy ending.
They should bring her back.
I want Leo to come back, and not in a dream. I want him to come back and grab Greenlee and take her ass out of town.
He better. Swear to God.
I'm glad they want to put some happiness into the show.
I don't know anybody that is excited about Greenlee and Ryanderthal. Boring ass. You know my new nickname for him is?
What?
Boring ass Ryan.
Ryan should end. The show
better
should
off
end.
Dead Ryan.
Yeah. The show should end with
That's
Ryan.
That's what I'm calling. Better off
alone.
Dead Ryan.
Being alone or
Let's
going over
put
a cliff.
Him in the attic and bring Bobby Martin back. Bobby Martin?
Bobby Martin.
Yeah.
I have to say that I did see some scenes with Susan Lucci as Jane that I actually thought she was good.
I'm going to tell you what's going on with Susan Lucci and Jane. She's doing a good job.
I was impressed.
The woman has chops. She's selling this Jane. I'm believing this Jane as another character. I think some of the writing choices are stupid.
Well, it's a stupid story.
You know what I mean? Like, to have Jane be a drinker when she knows Erica Kane is sober. Like, that's just dumb. But yeah. But I get it. You know what I mean? Like, in Erica's, Susan Lucci's playing the hell out of it. I'm actually really proud of her. I'm really proud of her for bringing some light to some really freaking shitty material.
Well, but that's...
And it couldn't be over soon enough.
But that's the cast of All My Children for you. You know,
oh,
they
true.
Turn shit to shinola.
And you know
you
who
like
I'm really liking?
Who?
I never thought I'd say it. That big bug-eyed Kara.
I love her. I don't know why you hate her, but I love
it
her.
It wasn't that I didn't love her. It was that she was too big for what was being written. Do you know what I'm saying? What was written wasn't much. And she was so much actress for such a dumb-ass role. Now, it's getting more layered.
Because of the tag?
Because of the... Yeah. Because I think I think Lorraine and Aggie were doing some ghostwriting, and they're back.
I think what it is we got to remember that even though Lorraine and Aggie were rewriting the scripts, they can't get credit as head writers.
Yes,
that's
contractually.
It's contractually.
So here's the deal.
So I think that this is some of their work.
But when I tuned in and I saw Jake, a man torn over the love of his wife and family, and one of his first true loves, which I'll assume and say that that's what this is, even though we didn't see it, didn't experience it, you know, whatever. And we really know that Jake has a very long storied history of women. Let's just say for haha, and I'll buy it, that Kara is the true, hot, passionate soulmate love. You know,
right,
that.
Right, right.
I'll buy that.
Right.
I love help me out, Jordan. I got mommy brain. I love the torture that he's going through.
Torture.
It is torturous to him. This feelings that he's feeling, this passion that he's feeling for this woman, and this sort of safe, good life that he has with Amanda. Because let's face it, he is the one character with Amanda that has not had any chemistry with her. I don't care what anybody tells you. I saw that woman make love to Special Johnny, and I thought my television was going to light on fire. I saw her with JR, and I swear puffs of smoke came out the corner of that screen. With Jake, with Ricky Paul Golden, nothing. It's like a dirty old man.
I'll tell you why.
Right? Is that right? Am I right?
I thought they had chemistry at the beginning, but once that scene happened where he called her a slut and a whore,
that's right, it killed it for me. That's true.
Any chemistry, I can't see them together. I've never been able to get over that.
I saw Kara talking to her brother about Jake. And there was such a genuine emotion in the actress.
I think,
I felt I brought back to my own life, and I think so many women can relate to that struggle, that longing for that first passionate love, versus this not calm, but this lifestyle that they have now with the steady man, the steady partner. It's beautifully written and done.
No,
and the other beautifully written and done, have you watched any of Bianca and Marissa?
Yes.
I actually like Marissa now.
I told you, I like
them together.
Except
Marissa's too stupid about Bianca. You are best friends with a lesbian. You can't be that clueless about how she might be falling in love with you. Right? I forgive it.
Some people
because
are.
Because it's bringing out the best in
I've
the
had
space.
That happen. I've had friends that I fell in love with, and they were totally clueless to the fact that I was falling for them.
And they knew that you, and they know that you
like guys, like yeah, men. Yeah. You know what? Because you see what you want to see.
But what do you think about Newbanks now? Because I was never a big fan, but now she's got a story, and now she's playing.
I didn't mind her like you did. When she first started, I didn't mind her. Like,
I didn't really like her because she didn't have a purpose. She just all she did was preach to people.
But that's the writers.
All she did was it doesn't matter. She didn't bring much to the role.
I know, but what I'm saying is
she didn't go beyond that crap. Right, Kara did. New Kara tried to... They could not beat her back. She's such a vibrant actress. They could not control the passion in that lady when she was being written as boring Kara. Look,
some actors...
They finally have risen to her level.
Some actors make a choice to try to underplay stuff because there's nothing really there. They don't want to be over the top. Others go over the top. Look, Jamie's having this problem. Jamie Gittens having this problem with Jeannie Francis on The Restless.
It's about life. It's about bringing life into a character. Jamie, making them three-dimensional.
I don't know. It's a hard... Ashley, I'm telling you, it's a hard road to travel. You know why?
Laura Wright could do it. Florencia Lozano could do it. It's about talent. It's about talent. And I'm not saying that this actress is not talented. What I'm saying is she was playing it safe. She did not rise above the crap she was given to make choices. She was playing it safe and preaching at me every day. I was sick of it. Sick of it. But now...
I disagree with you, Bob.
Now she's playing. Now she's playing this character. Now she's finally has... Now she finally feels comfortable because they're giving her something to act.
I felt...
To sink her teeth into
from
it.
From the minute she started, I felt that she had something.
She was a victim.
Whether or not she was giving it, I felt the writers didn't give her anything.
She was playing the victim.
As I was trying to say, Jamie Gittens
Eden
was
Regal
commenting...
Would not play no victim.
Jamie Gittens
right?
and a lot of people...
Am I
listen,
right?
Jamie Gittens and a lot of people were commenting on Jeannie Francis on Young and the Restless, saying that she's over the top and cartoony. I agree with them to a point. I think that it's a horrible storyline. It's a horribly developed character. I think Jeannie is trying to make sense of it and find some kind of, you know, and that's the choice that you have. Either you try to go safe or you go over the top and risk being considered, you know, it's a hard road for actors when they make
these choices.
I don't
think that's the choice. I think that's a false choice. You find a way. You find a way to find the humanity in even the most bland character. I've seen great, talented actresses do it.
Ooh.
Ugh.
Anyway.
So what else? What other storylines are we liking?
Well, this new twist with Amanda and JR sleeping together, I like.
I didn't even know that.
Didn't you watch Friday's episode?
I didn't watch Friday. But can I tell you that I discovered?
I discovered
the ABC player on the Mac. I'm so happy.
I don't know
because
what that
my,
is,
new house, but... my new house where I live
uh-huh.
doesn't have a TV where I'm in the kitchen. You know, I spend half my day in the kitchen, damn kitchen, cleaning up after those kids, feeding those kids. So I finally figured out how to watch TV, quote unquote, and do the dishes.
Do you still breastfeed?
I'm not going there with you. That's nasty. That's mean. Yes, I do. I'm proud of it.
How old are they?
Two.
How old are you going to let them do it till?
Till they're 18. They want it. They get it. They mommy's little angels. You see what I'm saying? You asked.
Anyway, that was funny. I like that. Oh no, wait. Amanda thinks that Jake slept with Kara. So, and JR is pissed because he was rejected by...
He was rejected by her?
Yeah, see, this has to be...
What's the music box?
This has to be, I don't know. This has to be Lorraine Broderick and Agnes Nixon's idea.
Absolutely.
And I think this is brilliant. This is brilliant, old school, soap opera. This is why I said, come Monday, I'm going to start watching with my children, regardless, because there's something there to watch now, and I'm living for it. So, we talked about All My Children. Let's go on to One Night to Live. Oh, so wait a minute. Guess who else is coming back?
On what?
On My Children.
What?
Eva LaRue, Maria.
Okay. I've never been a big Maria. Come on now.
We're going to have
really
this argument right here.
Do you really expect any other reaction from me?
I love Eva LaRue. I think she's a great actress, and I love the character Maria. Maria, Evan, one of my favorite All My Children couples, yes. I'm happy that she's coming back.
Couples? What do you mean couples?
I said they're one of my favorite couples.
But who's she coming back with?
Well, I'm saying Edmund and Maria were one of my favorite couples.
Do you think Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos will come back?
I don't know. Maybe.
Is David Canary coming back? He's gone.
They haven't.
Right?
They haven't said it. That's. I think that's what everybody wants. Is David Canary to come back?
And can I tell you, it was so stupid of them to like. Do you, it makes sense that the what's her name, Annie? Jeez, why am I forgetting the actress's
Melissa
name?
Melissa Claire Egan,
MCE. She must have had no way she knew that they were getting canceled, because if she had known, there's no way she would have left the show for the 3 months that she would have had to work more on her contract.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I guess I can now tell the truth and come out.
Come out what?
Oh, girl. I used to work at the soap opera.
Of course you did.
Anybody?
How do you think he got all his scoop? First he was a soap paparazzi, and then he whored around on the sets for years.
I gotta tell ya.
Tell a story.
I'm Ashley's sauce.
He's my sauce.
I'm the sauce.
So go ahead.
I've done Guiding Light, Loving, All My Children, and One Light to Live.
Loving.
Yes, loving, girl, loving.
Oh,
loving.
You old.
I'm not old. Anyway, I gotta tell you my first day on All My Children. That's my story that I gotta tell, because I want people to know how great Susan Lucci is.
Okay, go ahead.
Susan Lucci is amazing. I was there with somebody else, and it was our first day. Then we're trying to figure everything out and where to go and blah, 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 blah. And it was very early in the morning, and we're walking down. And guys, I swear to you, this is really what honestly, truly happened. You know I never lie to you. We were walking in the hallway, and who turns the corner in like Umbata, this gorgeous negligee kind of thing. Oh, they're so cute.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I just interrupted his story with a picture of my kid. Sorry.
She's walking down with this negligee. It had barely any, if no makeup whatsoever, but Miss Susan Lucci. And I guess she could tell.
What did she look like with no makeup?
She's gorgeous. She was
this
gorgeous.
This was like 22 years ago, right?
No, this was not 22 years ago. Darn you to hell. And I guess we look like little lost puppies, and she could tell that it was like our first day. And we're walking in the hallway, and she looks at us and she smiles and she goes, "Welcome to Pine Valley." And me and this kid.
Oh my god, I don't think I knew that
me
story.
Me and this kid gagged. And we kept walking to the dressing room, and we're like,
they like vomited right there. And
like,
and they got escorted off the
whole
set.
Thing was like, if anybody could like treat me like dirt and I'd be okay with it, is Miss Susan Lucci, the queen of daytime TV.
And she didn't.
But she didn't. She was so sweet, fabulous. This is honest to good truth, and this is why I love her. You people gotta understand, this is a job like anybody, any other job for them. And some days you're gonna have the bad days where you're gonna be frustrated, some days you're gonna have your good days. But Susan is a class act. And if there were any times that anybody said that she was a little bit mean or whatever, you know what? She's human. But I can tell you honestly, from my days working on All My Children and also as a paparazzi outside the studio as a fan, Susan Lucci was always, always nice. And as a matter of fact, one day, me and my little group of paparazzi kids, because there was a whole bunch of us, we went and crashed the Daytime Emmy. As a matter of fact, it was our first Daytime Emmy that we crashed. And these security guards were trying to like bust us, and we were running through the dinner area, and who saw us but Susan Lucci and Helmut? And they know us from the soap studio, because we used to hang out like almost every day there. Susan was like, "Come sit at our table," and we sat down there.
Shut
and she told
up.
Security guard, "They're with us."
Shut
that,
up!
I swear to you, this is a true story.
I don't know this story either.
And
seriously, I'm lying to y'all.
Susan was so nice, and she like, you know, I was very shy, believe it or not. Two guys that I was with, Susan really, really knew them really well. She knew me, but she knew them like really, really well. And she like had the three of us sit at the table so that the security guards would pass. And when they stopped, Susan, she was like, "No, they're with us." It's like, here's Susan Lucci and this Latin boy, black boy, and white boy looking like ragamuffins, not in suits or anything at the Daytime Emmy, sitting down at the table with her. And at one party...
That's insane. That's literally insane.
At one party, at the party for Daytime Emmy, I was dancing with Victoria Rao. Me and Victoria Rao, who played Drusilla on Young and the Restless.
Okay.
We were dancing to George Michael's Freedom. I was like, "Freedom!" She was dancing.
So this was like 1988. What? I'm just saying.
I was a child back then.
He was two.
Anyway, so I've been the source. I have fabulous, fabulous soap stories. We'll try to like regale you with them. But I will say this: out of all the soaps that I worked on, All My Children was family. All My Children was home. Throughout the years, with all the cast changes, and even a few crew changes. That's why I was personally hurt when All My Children moved to L.A., because I know a lot of the crew people there.
And because you were suddenly unemployed.
Well, yes, it did not help.
A single tear.
It did not help that all of a sudden I was out of a job. One of my jobs. One of my million jobs. But what hurt more was the fact that the crew wasn't going with them. So all these crew people that I've been working with for years that I knew that were so nice to me.
You knew that they were getting screwed over.
Yeah, they were getting screwed over by this company that they worked hard for. And it's a travesty. But All My Children, like, I like Guiding Light. Guiding Light was cool. Everybody was there was, like, really, you know, I mean, the last 2 years when they were shooting, like, the way they were shooting, it was a little rough. But everybody, I'm going to be honest about one thing. One Night to Live is a very difficult set. I don't know if I should say that, but I'm saying it. It is.
Why is that?
It's very tense. It's very tense over there. I can honestly say that the cast is not as warm with each other. The way All My Children, One Night to Live, and Guiding Light, their cast was like family. One Night to Live, there was always very, like, you could see that there were a little bit of cliques, a little bit of this and that. I think also Frank Valenti runs a tight, tight ship. So everybody's on their P's and Q's.
Now, why do you love Frank Valenti so much?
I mean, I think that's great for leadership. I think you need that. I think it's one of the problems, as much as I love All My Children, that was one of the problems that All My Children was, they were a little too laid back.
That's
and
funny.
Guiding Light was very laid back. But what I'm saying is, like you got to find, like, a happy medium. But I, you know, whenever I got the call for One Night to Live, I was like, ooh. But All My Children never even crossed my... I was happy when that phone call came from All My Children, because I knew I was going into a very loving environment. Even when the show was at its worst and the cast was not happy with the scripts and stuff, but everybody was there because they loved being there, you know?
Yeah.
They treated you like all the stars was so nice. I can't begin to tell you how nice everybody is on All My Children. Really. I mean, there were a couple of people that were a little... But overall, great cast. And Susan Lucci...
What was Rebecca Buttig like?
She's all right. I mean, she's not mean. She's just, you know, she's a very... You know, she kind of keeps to herself. She's not... Like, I'll tell you, Alicia, sweetheart. Eva LaRue... I think Eva LaRue really is a saint in real life. That's how nice she is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, on the overall, everybody there is really nice. I would say that if anybody's a little cold, believe it or not, the original Binks... I mean, she wasn't... Again, not saying that she was mean.
Right.
I'm just saying... Like, when you compare her to, like, Susan and Eva LaRue, she's not as warm as they are as giving, you know?
Yep.
But All My Children, that's why all... For those of you who don't know, that's why All My Children...
He's gonna cry.
It is hard for me to deal with the fact that All My Children is not gonna be around come September.
So if you people think you're taking it light, he cries all the time about it.
You don't understand. I know that we rag on it and we snap on it and we stop watching it. But the thing about soap operas that's always so great is that you usually could always come back home, you know? And now we can't. And Debbie Morgan was so beautiful at the Emmys yesterday when she... Because, you know, again, I felt like...
I was sorry not to see her win, but I really, really wanted Dora Wright to win.
I had to say, like, it was disgusting to me how they were really not showcasing soap operas at this Emmy, at this daytime Emmys. It was almost like daytime was One Night to Live for this night because they were shunning it. And nobody wanted to talk about the elephant in the room except for Maria. Tina Maria, Annalita Bell, I don't know her. She has a million names. I head writer, Young the Restless, who basically said, keep watching because we're still here. And I thought that was great.
That is great.
Acknowledging the fact that these networks are trying to destroy and get rid of all these soaps. And then Debbie Morgan, when her and Darnell came to present, was so classy. And I know they probably were not amused that she took the time to say it because I'm sure that was not in the script. But she thanked us fans. She goes... As the song goes, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. She goes, we love you. Thank you so much. Even Susan Lucci, when she was with Shamar Moore, even Susan Lucci was like, we got the best fans. They're fired up. Fired up. That's Elisa's name.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
that the campaign?
Well, Fire France.
Well, same thing. Anyway.
Susan and Elise, Fire France.
Yeah, I don't care. It's still... People recognizing the fact that we are still fighting. We might not win, We might not get these shows anywhere else. And you know what? That's all good. But you're not going to be able to take the memories that we have away from us.
Okay? I love this man. You can't. I love Jordan Hudson.
You can't. All men children will always be in our hearts. They'll always be with us. And you just can't. So, suck on that, Brian Franz.
So, F you, Franz.
All right.
Big
so,
Franz hole.
Getting to One Light to Live. One Night to Live has been on fire. Everybody's been talking about it. It has been brilliant and amazing. And every time I watch it, I don't understand how they're letting this show go. I can't get over how brilliant it is.
They're back to every episode being a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's just like
every episode.
Well, because he has a lot of story to tell in a very short time. The only complaint that I have is, with two Todds, there should not be a day that we go Toddless. I'm sorry. I don't understand. The fact that Roger Howard is back has lit a fire.
A day without Todd is like a day without sunshine.
There you go. I mean, honestly, Roger Howard being back has lit a fire under Trevor St. John's ass like nobody's business.
Find him annoying.
He is on smoke. His choices have been brilliant. I've been riveted.
They're better.
I love the way they wrote Marty out. The only problem I had is, if you were going to make Patrick alive,
have him there.
Why couldn't you have him there? Even if it was just like a cameo. I don't understand.
He's
working for ABC anyway on All My Children. Why?
It has to be contractual, don't you think? Because he's still on
My Children. It's the same network.
He's coming back to AMC.
I would have liked to have seen Patrick for like a second.
It's got to be contractual.
I thought it was a great twist, the way they did it. I thought it was very respectful of the character. Because, you know, of her history, I know a lot of people didn't like the fact that she went crazy, but you know what? It's in the character's history. When you look at what the character's been through...
I loved how you explained that to me.
It makes sense. Marty was not the most stable person when she was a teenager. She had a lot of issues. She did a lot of evil things.
You made so
when
much
she
sense
was a child. She got raped. That was very horrible and sad. It changed her as a person. But then you guys got to remember everything that she's been through since she's been back. I mean, my God, her husband died. Her son, went to prison.
In jail for life.
Like, she lost her memory just to wake up to find out that the guy she thought that raped her as a teenager was having sex with her.
She lost the baby.
Then she lost her baby, and the man that she had this baby with that she loved dumped her 2 seconds after she lost the baby for some snatchily. That would make me go crazy. Imagine getting dumped for snatchily. Mm-hmm. So, I gotta say, I bought it. I bought it, and I think Susan Haskell played the hell out of it. She was funny and touching and brilliant and riveting. And like, if she did not like the storyline, as far as I'm concerned, she did not show it. Unlike Rebecca Budding, she played it to the hilt, and I thank her for it. It was great. I'm sorry to see you go. It should have been Snatchley. But you know what? Snatchley's still around, but what's her name? Gigi finally died. I'm happy about that. I don't feel anything.
Do you think she's dead?
Yes, and I don't feel anything because her heart has to stay clean because Matthew opened his eyes, so Matthew's not going anywhere. Plus, Matthew got Destiny pregnant. They think Destiny's pregnant because she was throwing up. And you know what? Asa's rolling over in his grave because first Clint gave him a Mexican, and now he's going to have a black child in the family.
I love it!
Classic soap opera. I was living when Destiny got sick and Star was like, girl, you pregnant? And Destiny was like, hell no! We use protection. Oopsie.
Oops.
Oh, shit. One Night to Live has been fire. Florencia Lozano has been brilliant. Brilliant. But when is she not, you know? Cassie Wesley, phenomenal. Phenomenal.
You got to hear me on one thing,
what?
Though. If I got to turn my TV on and see Dumb and Dumber going at it one more time.
Ooh.
That ridiculous Jack Manning, and I'm sorry, but the kid that plays Gigi and Rex's kid,
he's good.
He's
the only reason that I cry when Gigi died.
I think he's a little.
Because let me tell you something, I'll give you this. Rex tried, JP really tried, but those facial expressions that he makes are so over the top. I can't. He did the scene like this with Bo. He put his hands on his cheek and he looked like Macaulay Culkin when he was at Home Alone. And he's like, Gigi's dead. Gigi's dead. And I was like, what? He's so stupid.
Let me tell you something. None of it was acted very. Come on now. Seriously.
No, Jack. Let me tell you. But when Todd found out,
That was scary. What? And you could tell that the actor playing Todd was so pissed at not getting one glimmer of life from that kid. That
Wait, he was like, that's probably why he grabbed his head.
He did.
He was like, act, motherfucker.
Exactly. He's like,
give me
like,
something to work with.
Seriously, like, are you a mannequin? Like, seriously, it's inhuman, the lack of response from this child.
Oh, but you know, guys, I really got to start writing because there's so many million of little touches at One Night to Live, the little things that make One Night to Live so brilliant. The fact that there was this scene with Danielle and Sean, when Sean was grilling Danielle about who Matthew was sleeping with, and, you know, Danny knows the truth, that was brilliant. All these brilliant moments. The fact that the first person to see Roger Howard's Todd is Sam, the son that really isn't his. And when Roger Howard found out that this guy was Todd and he looked in the camera and said,
so how does
wait,
that get
Roger Howard goes like this, wait a minute, if he's Todd, who am I? I was on the floor. And so he broke into Dorian's mansion. He sees this little boy.
I've missed all of this.
And this is why it's brilliant. For those of you who don't know the history of Todd, when Todd was on the run the first time he escaped from prison, he befriended his... Well, at the time, he didn't know that those were his relatives. He befriended these two little kids that wound up being Tina's kids, CJ and Sarah. And they actually loved Todd. And it was this kind of Frankenstein thing where Todd is like this guy with a scar on the run and he's a rapist. But yet these two little kids see him as a human being. So again, I thought it was a brilliant choice for them for Ron as a head writer to make it be that Sam is the first person who Todd comes in touch with. And Roger Howard's so good with kids. And there was just these great scenes with him and Sam. And he's looking at Sam and saying, who's this man? You know who this man is? And Sam's like, yeah, that's my dad. And he goes, this is Todd Manning, your father. He goes, yeah. And Roger Howard is so confused. And the scene where Star comes in and to talk to Sam and he hides and he's watching Star broke my heart because Roger Howard and her has such a great relationship as Todd and Star growing up. I mean, when Star was growing up. I will absolutely be so disappointed and devastated if Roger Howard's not really Todd. It makes no sense to bring him back unless he's Todd.
I'm so scared
because they keep showing, instead of him remembering scenes, they just have him remembering like a picture frame. And that could just as easily be somebody showing him a picture trying to embed it in his brain that he's Todd. I'm hoping that...
Do you think there's any way possible that anybody on this One Life to Live staff, including head writer, including Frank Valenti, including, what's his name, Ron Carlovati, do you think any of them would let these fans watch their show end and have that Roger Howard not be Todd?
I have to believe that he's going to be Todd. But I got to say this, too. Baby Ron, you got to speed this storyline up because the show ends in January. I mean, this is a hell of a lot of story. You got to speed this Todd storyline up. I mean, Roger Howard's been back on the scene for like 2 months now. And the only person that's seen him is Sam.
We got to speed this podcast up.
All right.
I got literally like 5 minutes.
All right. Rama, fabulous. Rama stealing the show. Rama needs to be on contract to the very end.
She's with that guy that was with that Erin, whatever her name is.
No, she's blackmailing him to let him stay in the mansion. And I'm sorry
Why?
For those
Why? What's
of you,
the relationship?
Because he now owns Clint's mansion.
What's the
He blackmailed Clint.
So what's her relationship with him?
There is no relationship.
I thought Rama was having an affair with this guy.
No, Rama is in love with Christian. She has the house for Christian. But when he threw everybody out of the house, he threw Rama too. But Rama has something on him and she told him, I'm staying. So she's blackmailing him. And let me tell you, Rama needs to stay on the show to the very end. That's it. I'm going to say that. And for those of you who think that Bob Woods...
It's probably the best name in soap operas. Rama Drama. It's great.
For those of you who think that Bob Woods is not doing a great job, I'm sorry. You're absolutely
Who's Bob
wrong.
Woods?
Bo. Bo has been playing very subtle work. It's very easy to be over the top.
It's so subtle, it's putting me to sleep.
No, I disagree with you. It's so easy to be over dramatic in these scenes. He seems like a real father, a real manly father who's dealing with a son being like on death's door. It's a nice contrast to what Hillary's playing. I loved what Bob did. I think Bob did something. He made me cry. He did some really great work. I disagree with you. I think Jerry Vadorn's been good. One Until It's been
He's
fabulous.
Been better.
I got like 3 minutes to just General Hospital.
Yes, you got three
General
minutes.
Hospital is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but God damn it, they are giving you good soap opera. I mean, if this is really like what's his name writing? I'm surprised. Because somewhere Bob along Dizzle. The line, the show has shifted from the mob. We're seeing these great family scenes. I have been living for
Who's
all these.
Who's taking Bob Goose's place?
Some scab writer named Darren Wolf.
Okay.
But word has it that Ron Calavetti is going to be joining the writing team once One Night to Live is done. And some people speculating that he's going to be co-head writer. Anyway, real fast, General Hospital, if you're not watching, you're missing some great scenes with Nancy Grahn and her daughter, Christina. I'm loving seeing these parents dealing with these kids growing up. There were some beautiful scenes with them dealing with the teens getting out of control, not out of control, but growing up. And Sam, Kelly Monaco's character, actually told Carly, Sonny, and her own mother, Alexis, off. Not off, but she told them. She goes, you raised two great kids. Now you gotta let them be. You gotta let them. And because it's the heart. And see, when you give me moments like this, this is soap opera at its best. And I'm sorry, you can't knock General Hospital when they're doing stuff like this. The scenes between Luke and Lucky have been phenomenal.
That's
this storyline has been heartbreaking.
It's hard
the
to
The scenes
even watch
between
sometimes.
Lucky
it's
and his
painful.
Sister, there was these scenes where she blamed him for the father, like, skipping town because she was like, you pushed him to this when he is not an alcoholic. You pushed him to this. Were, and the scenes were so real and so... I really felt like I was watching a brother and sister fighting. It was so painful to watch these scenes because there was so much hurt in her. And she blamed him. She said, it's your fault. You, this worked for you. This 12-step, it worked for you. This isn't going to work for him. And when Jonathan Jackson looked at her, he realized that there was some truth to what his sister was saying. And he's like, come with me. And she's like, and she walked away from him. And she went behind the bar and she poured him a drink. She poured a drink and drank it in front of him. And the look of her.
Wow.
This was great writing.
That's crazy.
Great
that just
acting.
Gave me the chills.
I was riveted by what I was seeing. And the scenes where Tony Geary and Jonathan Jackson were brilliant was when Lucky found them and tried to convince them to come back to town. Tony Geary, I don't know where he got this from, but in such great writing, he is beyond redemption. That's the way he feels now. And he actually told Lucky, me hitting your kid in a way, there's a cloud, it's true what they say, there's a silver lining in every cloud. And Jonathan Jackson was like, what do you mean? He goes, by me hitting and killing your son, he goes, I'm free. I'm now irredeemable.
Ooh.
It was so, it's Ooh. Like this is giving him an excuse to not live up to being a father.
Damn.
To be, it's such great
that
psychological
deep.
Writing. So, guys, I'm sorry. General Hospital is doing a lot of stuff right now. I'm looking forward to a new writer coming in and hopefully keeping where they're going now and getting away from all the mafia. Oh, and real quick, you better tune into General Hospital today because your girl has gone skyrocketed crazy.
Which one?
Lisa's taking the hospitals hostage.
Ooh, I love it.
And I'm sorry, it's brilliant writing. She was great Friday when she took them hostage because you know what? She called them on their bullshit and there's some truth to what she said. I love, see, that's what I love. I buy insanity when you define it by reality. And the reality is, she told Robin when she had the gun on them, she goes, I don't care what you say, your husband came sniffing on me.
Yeah.
He came to me and
she's
then
right.
he dumped me.
She's
when,
right.
And she's right. I don't blame her for not. It was some great stuff. I can't wait to see General Hospital
but
Monday.
That's what I mean. I feel like that's what General Hospital does so well that I don't
oh, they do.
See
they,
in
I gotta tell you,
even in One Life to Live.
Bob Guza, like Chuck Pratt, Bob Guza gets these bizarre, over the top, what seems like it's
but
plot,
he
like,
never.
Like, but it's always
Chuck
character
Pratt
driven.
Never had any ability.
No, it's always
to
plot.
Make a three dimensional character. The most he could get was one.
That's what
one.
I'm saying. Because Bob Guza has a good writing team, and they always write it, no matter how big and theatrical and over the
I mean,
top.
I that stuff
may
is
see,
worthy of the best Broadway
always,
Tennessee Williams play.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be that. You know.
It is always character-driven.
But it's kind of true.
It's always character-driven. And you didn't watch The Killing. It ended yesterday, the season finale, and it lived up to what it said. I loved it.
Too creepy.
And you're not watching The Voice. I can't believe you're not watching The Voice.
Too creepy.
The best talent singing competition, and you're not watching it. Watch The Voice. Dia Frampton, I wanted to come down to Dia Frampton and Vicky Martinez. Excellent.
I'm watching shows that are much more dramatic and riveting than all of those.
Barney?
The Bachelorette. He's about to slap
And on that
me.
Note, now we can end the podcast.
It's terrible, that Bachelorette. Oh, my God. That
I
Bentley. I want to kill
you
that
You actually watch that?
I do.
And then you wonder why our soaps are going off the air. Because he people watch that garbage right like that. That is garbage.
You've never given me a more vile or hateful look.
I'm sorry. I'm really over these reality shows. I'll admit I watch Jersey Shore. I'll admit that I watch The Voice. But that's about it.
All right, fine.
Oh, Teen Wolf. Cannot believe that MTV has a real show. No, I laugh too, but I actually tuned into it. Teen Wolf is brilliant. I can't believe that it's on MTV. I cannot believe it's on MTV.
Is it drama?
Yeah. Scripted? Yeah, it's a scripted TV show. But, like, I thought it was going to be like, it's really good. Like, it's real. I'm still in awe and shock. In awe and shock, people. Teen Wolf.
I don't even know what I'm watching right now. Oh, Finding Sarah on the OWN network. That's Sarah Ferguson, Duchess of York.
Again, with the reality shows.
I feel bad for her.
I'm watching my DVDs, a Luther. Love it. Love it. BBC show, Idris Elba.
I'm running out of battery.
All right, I said let's end the podcast, man.
All right, fine. You got anything else you want to say? You had so much you wanted to say. Do you feel like you got it off your chest?
No, I never have. I could do a 3-hour podcast give me time. I'm so sorry. Much to talk about.
I know, you do. We love listening.
We got nighttime shows. We got movies to talk about. We got what's going on in your life, what's going on in my life.
All right, there's not much in my life.
I'm still single. It's Gay Pride Week. I'm probably not going to have sex because I'm the only person that could be here and get...
Oh, you know what we got to say?
What?
I think gay marriage is stalled in Albany, people.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right, fine.
I'm very upset about it.
It is bad, actually. It's very bad.
I think it's disgusting at this point.
Yeah, it is disgusting. All right, people. If you want to write us, I would look forward to getting a real email because all I get is the Save Our Soap emails. You know what I'm up to in emails? 2,273 emails. I can't. 2,273 emails. I love you, Save Our Souls people, but I got to figure out how to change my settings on Facebook.
I just went through the thing. You know how many I deleted?
How many?
2,000.
Oh, my God.
And I still have, like, 3,000 that I have to, like, go through.
You're popular.
I'm really behind. I gotta catch up with everybody. There's people that I promised that I was not going to fall behind, I'm so sorry I haven't emailed you. You know who you are. I'm going
to
email
PVP you. PVP at PineValleyPodcast.com. You can go to MySpace. My God, what the hell is wrong with me? Facebook. I almost said my face. Isn't that one like to live my face?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook. You can go to Ashley Mendoza's page, go to Jordan Hudson's page, or just go to the Pine Valley Podcast fan page and like us or something. I think that's important when you like a fan page.
Come to my fan page, my Facebook page, and be with me.
I just said Jordan Hudson.
Oh.
Dang, you're not listening. I saw you.
I zoned out.
You were looking over there to see if there was someone over there.
No!
Oh, Shadow.
We gotta go back to the kids.
Shadow, we love you. Thank you for keeping up the blog.
Yes, Shadow.
Our third invisible co-host. He was on once. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
We need to have him on again. Also, want to thank Luis for the fabulous intro, even though we didn't really use it this week. And what else? Who do we want to
thank? AMC Super Poster for keeping the AMC alive.
Absolutely. And
we love soaps.net, daytimeconfidential.com. All of you guys, the few of you that are still listening to us.
We love you. We love both of you.
We love you guys. I think that's it.
That's all we got to say.
And just, you know,
keep the
while
faith.
The soaps are still there, keep the faith, wash them,
keep
support
writing,
them to the bitter
listening.
End. Still keep fighting.
To us, keep fighting.
You know, and and I will be setting up an account for that Jordan Hudson to Canada fund.
Yes.
You can send checks.
The PayPal.
With credit cards.
That's right.
Welfare, we accept WIC, food stamps, whatever.
That's
whatever's
right.
Going to get me to Canada.
That's what he Even though he can't use his food stamps in Canada, he will take them for the road.
I so need to go to Canada.
All right, people, we love you. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
12 years ago, one of the honors of my career. I've done some things, but this one was special. To stand right here with you. And I got to present you your first Emmy after 18 years. 18 nominations.
The streak is over, Susan Lucci!
Give her love.
Thank you.
No, that was a wild night.
Thank you, Shamar. Needless to say, it was one of the biggest thrills of my life. And now we get to watch one of these six talented actresses enjoy that same electric thrill.
Here are the nominees for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama.
Alicia Minshew as Kendall Slater. Debbie Morgan as Angie Hubbard. Colleen Zink as Barbara Ryan. Susan Flannery as Stephanie Forrester. Laurel Wright as Carly Corinthos Jacks. Michelle Stafford as Phyllis Summers.
And the Emmy goes to...
Laura Wright as Carly Corinthos Jacks, Denver Hospital.
This is the first Emmy win and first nomination for Laura Wright in the Outstanding Lead Actress category. Laura has played Carly Corinthos Jacks on General Hospital since 2005.
I love you to my husband, and my kids are my life. You guys are thanked first. Jill Phelps, I will always be grateful that you made that last phone call to show the love. And I love this character. I love this role. I love the cast I get to work with. I love my life, and it's now General Hospital. Before it was Guiding Light. Before that, it was Loving. This has been 20 years of the best career ever. Thank you so much.